Turn back to Isaiah 46. It's good to see Brother Paul Mahan with us tonight. Good to see you, Paul. I want to look at this chapter tonight. I titled the message, I Am He. I Am He. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? I Am He. He says here in verse 1, Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. Baal and Nebo were idols. They were idols of the Babylonians. They worshipped these idols. They had a goldsmith to make them, then they bowed down and worshipped them. They thought so highly of these two here, Baal and Nebo, that it is said that they named their kings after them. Belshazzar is said to be named after Baal, and Nebuchadnezzar was said to be named after Nebo. That's one of the writers I was reading today. But I know this, they worshipped them as gods. They bowed down before them as gods. And they credited all their successes in war and prosperity to these gods. These willed out gods. That's what men will do left to themselves. We'll bow down to about anything. Unless God does something for us. God tells His people, Israel, who will be taken into captivity, He says, don't you fear these false gods. Don't you fear Baal and Nebo. Don't you fear them. When He delivers them by Cyrus, He will make their gods to be a burden, even, He says, to the weary beast. They'll be a burden to the beast. They'll be taken down and disassembled and carried away as spoil to the victor. That's what's going to happen to Baal and Nebo. This is what God's going to do to these false gods of Babylon. He said, don't you fear them. They're nothing. They're nothing. They're going to be disassembled, carried away to the spoil of the victor. Here's a lesson. All false gods and refuges will fail their worshipers. They will fail their worshipers in their greatest hour of need when they stand before God Almighty. They'll fail them. There's only one God that can save, and that's the God of Israel. That's the God of Jacob. That's the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save. All others are going to fail in their greatest hour of need. And he says here, they stoop. They bow down together, the gods and the people. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden. But themselves are gone into captivity. They have no power to resist my Cyrus, my Christ, my Son. They have no power. They stoop and bow down along with their followers under captivity. They could not deliver their worshipers nor themselves. He's telling Israel here the truth about these false gods. They don't exist. They have no power. Don't you be afraid of them. They can't deliver themselves, nor can they deliver those who worship them. They all, he says, stoop and bow down together. When the hour comes for Christ to judge the world in righteousness, the false gods of religion will not be able to deliver their followers. They'll not be able to deliver their followers. But the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, is able to deliver His people. He's able. Our God is able. He's able to deliver His people through the blood and the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to deliver us. He's able. Paul said this in Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, it's the dynamite of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. God has the power in Christ to save sinners. But these idols, he says, they're not going to save anybody. These false idols are not going to do it. Now listen to what God says to his people. Listen, draw comfort from this. I have enjoyed this for 2 days. I hope I can give it to you like it was, like I was enjoying it in the study. He says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Give me your attention, O house," he says, "of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel." God is going to tell them and us that he will not fail. Our God will not fail us. No matter what the hour brings, no matter what the day brings, our God will not fail. They're going into captivity. And to them, to some of them who were unbelievers, it looked like God failed. He said, I'm not going to fail. Our God will not fail. First, he tells them that he has born them from the belly. God made them. God made us. He made us. They did not make God as the Babylonians made Baal and Nebo. See, they made Baal and Nebo. We did not make God. He made us. He said, "I carried you. I made you from the belly." From the belly. Our God, listen, our God is uncreated. He is the eternal God. He is self-existent. He has no beginning of days or end of life. Listen, he is eternality. Our God is eternal. He is eternal. Eternity wouldn't even exist apart from him. He's uncreated. Babylon created their gods. Israel did not create God. God created Israel. And here is great comfort for God's people. "I have taken care of you from the womb. I've carried you. I've taken you from the belly. I've carried you." God, being a God of means, has used our parents to support us. But never forget this. He is the one who has carried us since our birth. I'm 51 years old. God has carried me for 51 years. And if however much longer he allows me to live here, he'll continue to carry me. He'll continue. He's the one who has carried us from birth. But especially, and listen, especially since our new birth. Especially since the new birth. He constantly takes care and carries that new man. I don't support it. He supports him. He carries him. He created him. We are created in Christ Jesus, it says, unto good works. From the time of its conception in regeneration to its final glory in his presence, he does all the carrying. He does all the carrying. Listen to this. Look over in Isaiah 40. Let me just read. Let's read it. Isaiah chapter 40. And look in verse 11. "He," that is Christ, "shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them." And look where he carries them. "In his bosom." He carries us in himself. "In his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Oh, I tell you, that's such comfort. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom." This is also in contrast to Baal and Nebo, who had to be carried by their worshipers. You notice that in reading? We'll see this. He had to be carried. Baal and Nebo, the ones whom they worshiped, the people had to carry them. They had to carry them to their place, to the temple. They couldn't even get there by themselves. Think how stupid. How stupid we are by nature. But they had to be carried. We never carry ever our God. We never carry our God. He always, always carries us. He always bears us. And listen, he's not a burden to his people. Bel and Nebo became a burden to the Babylonians. He is not a burden to his people. Our Lord said this, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you find this to be a burden, if you find a worship and sitting on the gospel and worshiping Christ to be a burden, you have not yet found him. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoard hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. How much more could he say to us? I've made, I'll bear, I will carry, and I will deliver. I'll do it all. I will do it all. Even, he says here, to your old age, I am he. When parents are gone, and we have buried most of our friends, God will still be there to carry us on. God will still be there to carry us when all these are gone. He'll still be there to carry us onward till we reach home. He's the one we depend on. He's the one we look to. He is. He will not fail to carry us even in our old age, he says. I'll carry you even then. Oh, he's saying, don't worry. You know, people fret as they get older. I'm getting older and I fret. But we fret as we get a little older. But God says, I'll carry you even till your hair has turned gray. You know why? Because his don't. There's not a wrinkle on his brow. I'm getting some. He has none. He has none. We may weary others with our old age. There may come a time that I'll weary my wife with my old age. But he will never weary of carrying us. Ever. That's love beyond comprehending. That's beyond comprehending. Look in Isaiah 40 again. We're here in Isaiah 40. What comfort God gives to his people. In Isaiah 40, let me find the verse. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He says, I never grow weary. Never. Never. Psalm 121:4 says, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't need it. He'll neither slumber nor sleep. Then he says here, I am he. What a statement. I am he. If we ever learn this, oh my, we'll be able to sleep at nights. We'll be able to go through the day with some comfort and some peace. When all else is in turmoil and everything seems like it's falling apart, all we have to do is remember, I am he. I am he that created the heavens and the earth. Remember that. It's his earth and everything in it's his. I am he that is sovereign over all. Everything right now that's going on is under the dominion of our Lord. It's under his dominion. I am he that called you by grace, and grace will lead you home. I am he that lived and died and rose again to save you from your sins. I am he. I am he that is thy righteousness. I am he that is the Messiah. I am he that never changes. Turn over to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 8. Let's see who this is talking about. John chapter 8, look in verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now look in verse 28. Look in verse 28. In verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. Then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now I know who I am He is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's it. He's the one. I am He. Always, listen, always make Christ your confidence and nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. Always make Christ your confidence before God, because He shall never fail. My servant, behold my servant, He says over in Isaiah 42, He shall not fail. He shall not fail. All other religious systems and philosophies shall fail. They are going to fail. Look down over history. Look at all these gods that have risen up and all these things that have come and gone. But Christ has not failed. God has never failed His people. He'll never fail. I am He shall never fail. Never fail. He shall never change towards His elect. He will always carry them. He'll always carry them. I find great comfort in the unchangeableness of God. I am He. I thought I was. I am. It's always with God. I am. It's always present. I am. Oh, the unchangeableness of God. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. When the sun and moon are darkened. This is over Ecclesiastes 12. And when the clouds return after the rain. And when the keepers of the house tremble. And when the grinders are few. And when you are afraid of that which is high. I'll carry you. I'll carry you. Oh, what precious promises God's given to His people. You and I are never too heavy for Him. Never. Never. The Lord Jesus Christ, He carries us in His heart. He carried us in His heart before the world was. He carried us in His heart when He came into this world. He carried us in His heart when He went to Calvary. He carried us in His heart when He ascended on high and led captivity captive. And He carries us now in His intercessory prayer. And He's not about to set us down till He brings us home. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. And He tells us why. I made you. I made you a believer. I made you mine. I created you for my glory. We did not create ourselves the first time, and we sure did not create ourselves the second time. He did. He has carried us through all of our physical life on this earth, and He will carry us through all our spiritual life, all the way home. It says in Psalm 103, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Israel did not make themselves. God called Abraham. And God told Abraham, this is what I'm going to do with you. This is what I'm going to make out of you. Those Babylonians, they went and whittled them out of God. They went and whittled out Nebo. And they went and whittled out Baal and carried them to their temple. But God says, no, I made you. They made them. I made you. The Babylonians made Baal and Nebo, but Israel did not make the God of Israel. He made us. We do not bear Him, He bears us. And this is why we are told to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us and He carries us. And He says this, I have made and I will bear. I will bear. I will bear you through all your trials. God will not forsake the work of His hand. He won't do that. I would forsake a lot of things I've done. There's a lot of works of my hands I'd like to forsake. But you know there's nothing God makes that He'll forsake. He'll not forsake the work of His hand. Through all your changes in life, I will bear. I will bear. This is a promise. A promise. The Scripture says, He bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. So He's already bore and carried that which I'm even yet to see. I haven't even experienced yet what he's already taken care of. He's already taken care of. We shall never weep alone. Ever. For we have a great high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Even I will carry and deliver you. I made you. I will bear you. I will carry. And listen, I'll deliver you. Listen to this. Although he gives his angels charge over us, it is he himself who carries us. He will not delegate the care of his children to anyone less than himself. Well, you can write that one down. He will not delegate the care of his children to anyone less than himself. Would you? No. He will deliver us from all troubles and trials and finally into his presence with exceeding great joy. Will nobody be mad because they're there? With exceeding joy. Now, he says to these people, to whom will you liken me? Huh? To Bel Nebo? I don't think so. Whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Look upon all the so-called gods of men and tell me, is there any like me? Is there any like me who can create a heaven and an earth? Man, and especially a believer. Is there any that can create a believer? Is there any that can carry? Is there any that can deliver or tell the future like me? Look at what their gods are made of. He says, gold and silver. That's what their gods are made of. You know what our God is? Uncreated spirit. Uncreated pure spirit. Holy. He says, they lavish gold out of the bag. And they weigh silver in the balance. And they hire a goldsmith. They hire a mortal man to make an immortal. Anybody with common sense would know that's not going to happen. And he maketh it a god, little g. They fall down. Yea, they worship it. They bear him upon the shoulder. See here I said, they bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. And they set him in his place. And he standeth from his place, shall he not remove? He has to wait for somebody else to come along and help him down. Or he'll help take him someplace else. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. The rich make a god out of their abundance. He says, they lavish gold out of the bag. And the covetous, they weigh it out. The covetous weigh out their money to make a god of silver. You know, they don't want to get too much invested in this. Their god is their money. But notice here, they carry him on their shoulders. He is a burden to them. And listen, religion without Christ is nothing but a burden. That's all it is. It's nothing but a burden. They carry him to his place. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place and I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you'll be also. I'm going to take you to that place. They took their God to his place. He's going to take us to his place. They carry him to his place. And from there he cannot move. And when they cry unto him, he cannot hear nor answer them when they are in trouble. Israel and us, we are the Israel of God. Could look back on their history and they could see the hand of God in delivering them when they called upon him in trouble. You can see that too in your own history. They're down in Egypt. He brings them out. The Red Sea, he splits it. Jordan, he splits. Every time they called, he turned to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I won't read all of that, but just kind of touch some places. Psalm 107. Here it is. Look here in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Now on down here it says in verse 12, verse 11 it says, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands. That whole chapter goes like that. That whole chapter. Look over in verse 23. Verse 23. They that go down through the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them into their desired haven. Israel could look back. We can look back. We cried unto him in trouble, and he's delivered. Remember this, he says in verse 8. Remember this, what useless idols are. Remember this. Remember all that I've done for you. Remember the uselessness of these idols. And show yourselves men. Man, if we could find a man today. If we could find men, I would love to find a few good men. I'm serious, a few good men. I work men. I have over the years. If I could find a few good men, you could, man, what? It's amazing what you could do with a few, if you can find them. That's what he says here. And show yourselves men. That's what God said to Job. Job, stand up like a man. Be a man. Be a man among men. Be men and not babes. Be men and not cowards. Be men and not stupid. Be men. And bring it to mind. Bring it again to mind. Listen, he says, oh, ye transgressors. God reminds them who they are and why they're in trouble. You know, most of my troubles, I can say, is not from some fierce trial that come upon me. It's from my stupidity and sins. I am the cause of 99% of my troubles. I don't want to do about the other 1%. But I am. Draw, he says, remember now. He says here, remember, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Draw upon the past. Remember all the past mercies, how I delivered you when you were in trouble. As he has been in the past, so will he be in the present and in the future. If God's been merciful to us in the past, he'll be merciful to us now, and he'll be merciful to us in the future. God never changes. He never changes. He never leaves off being God. Ever. Declaring, verse 10, and verse 9, he said, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, say, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God alone declares the end of a thing from its beginning. No idol ever did that. No idol ever did that. And God is telling Israel before they go into captivity. He's telling them their end and how he will deliver out of it before they ever go into it. He even named Cyrus. He gave Cyrus his name before he was born. Can you imagine what it was like when Cyrus took over that place? I told you this last week. When he took that place over, he went in and he saw this prophecy and his name was in it. Can you imagine he read his own name? He thought, all those conquests is of God. And he thought it was himself all along. And then he found out God made him for that purpose. That's what he's saying. I'm the one who declared. When Adam failed, God declared the end from the beginning. He said the serpent, I'm going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise his head. He's going to bruise his head. God tells us in His Word what the end will be before it happens. Look over in Revelation 21, and I'll try to wind this up. Revelation 21. He tells the end from the beginning. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's the end. And he's declared that from the beginning. Just as all these other things he has declared has happened, that's going to happen. That will happen. He has done so. And he says this, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God's eternal purpose in saving sinners shall stand. His purpose in honoring His Son shall stand. It'll stand. And no one can disannul His counsel or His pleasure. No one. No one. Trials and afflictions never alter the purpose of God. They're a part of it. They're a part of the journey home. Part of it. Listen, verse 11. Calling the ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Well, we know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, heaven is compared to a far country. And He called him from there to execute His counsel. And He did. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. He raised Cyrus up to set His people free from Babylon. Just as He raised up Christ to set us free, to set all His people free, all His Israel free, from the law, from sin, and from Satan. The Son sets you free, you're free indeed. He is all our assurance. Christ is. God says this, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. God Himself says, I'll see to it. I'll see to it. Hearken to me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. Give heed to this who are stout-hearted against God, those that are far from His righteousness. He says, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I'll place in Zion for Israel my glory. All that He has promised, He will do. He'll do it. But listen, Christ, who is the righteousness of God, shall be brought near. He's brought near tonight in preaching the gospel. Christ is the salvation that shall not tarry. He's the salvation that shall not tarry. Christ is placed in Zion, the church, for the salvation of God's spiritual Israel. God is, He's in this church. He's the salvation of Israel. Instead of looking to walls and bulwarks for salvation, we look to Christ and Christ alone. He is the deliverer. He's our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. He's all I need. Okay, Mike.